Hi, this is Meredith Foster. This is the Epic Podcast. Enjoy.
Our pediatrician was on the other end, and he just said, and I could tell right away by his voice, he's like, this is not what I was hoping for.
And to see Lydia drop to her knees in the waiting room with tears in her eyes, she was not hearing the news she wanted to hear.
Everybody has a story, and everyone is a chapter, a piece of a much bigger picture. Welcome to Epic.
A great big story
that's been happening since the beginning.
It's filled with redemption,
suffering,
hope,
and power.
And power.
It has many characters.
And so you and I
are a part of it.
We are not.
You're not
the hero.
This is Epic.
Hi, this is Meredith Foster. Especially when our children are little, all we want to do is shelter them, protect them from harm. We can even live under the illusion that somehow we can control all of life and keep them safe from disappointment, sadness, sickness. We often don't willingly give up that illusion until we're forced to. For Trent and Lydia Hall, that hard lesson came early when their six-month-old baby was diagnosed with cancer. It was a journey that taught them so much about surrendering and what it truly means to say, God is in control. This is chapter 38 of Epic, Trent and Lydia's story.
So it started with a baby wellness check, right?
Yes. It was time for Ruby to go in for her six-month baby wellness check. Everything always goes well with our baby wellness checks. I feel like it's almost overconfidence when we go in, and I actually get excited because I always know the doctor's going to tell us, oh, your baby's perfect and it's great and it's just makes me feel good. But this time, when we took Ruby in, when the doctor was examining her stomach, when they always push on their stomachs, and mm-hmm. I always wondered why they do that. And they're actually feeling for growths in there, apparently, and I never knew that before. And she had a pretty big tummy, but she was also a very chubby baby, just real very healthy. She just looked like one of the most healthy babies you've ever seen, really chubby, happy baby. When he started pushing on her stomach, he said, you know, her liver feels a little bit enlarged. And he's like, I don't think it's anything to worry about. It could be just a little virus working its way through. But to be safe, why don't we set you guys up with an ultrasound appointment at the hospital in a couple days? Right away, my mind went to, oh, no, something isn't right here. This is a little weird that he felt something. Those next couple of days were pretty uncomfortable.
She kept on asking me questions. Her mind was racing, and I was pretty cool and peaceful about it.
Did you feel like, oh, this is no problem? This is not going to be an issue?
I didn't think it was going to be an issue at all.
And you're totally momming it, going, oh,
and
this could be terrible.
I'm trying to calm her down. Yep. Everything's going to be okay.
Yep. Yeah. Because as moms, I feel like we like to have control, and sometimes we think our worry is going to control and prepare us for whatever we're told. And so,
wow, is that very well put? Yeah, you're right.
So that morning we got ready to go to the ultrasound appointment, and I was really nervous about the whole situation. I had us dressed very cutely that morning because I didn't know what was going to happen, but I wanted us to look nice no matter what. Cause I don't know why.
Uh-huh.
That
was something you could control.
It was something I could control. And
yeah.
I wanted to put our best foot forward no matter what. So we had the ultrasound went fine. We had a good time. The ultrasound tech was a wonderful woman. And at the end of it, I just said, are you able to tell us anything? Did you see anything in there? And she said,
yeah, we're trying to fish for answers. We knew she could tell whether there was something there or not. And we thought we would get an answer out of her.
Right. Yeah. She just very kindly said to us, actually, I think I'm going to have you guys go wait in the waiting room. And I'm going to have your doctor call you. Then I was like, oh, this, I feel like something's not right. Because usually they'll tell you, oh, we'll give you a call later today and let you know how the test went.
Right.
But that, and not in our case. And so we sat down in the
waiting
room.
Waited for a phone call with other people in the waiting room.
Now, were you worried, Trent?
I still was fairly optimistic.
Okay.
I did think it was strange that we were waiting for a phone call in the waiting room.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then in just a few minutes, the receptionist just said, Lydia, you have a phone call. Your doctor's on the phone. And I went over to the phone.
Right there in the waiting room.
Right there in the waiting room. I've never seen anything like this happen either, which is interesting. But
there were about a dozen people sitting in there.
And so I picked up the phone and our pediatrician was on the other line or on the other end, and he just said, Lydia, and I could tell right away by his voice, he's like, this is not what I was hoping for.
So that's when I was looking at her the whole time, and I actually saw her drop to her knees, and I'd never seen that happen to anyone before. And to see Lydia drop to her knees in the waiting room with tears in her eyes, I knew something.
Yeah.
She was not hearing the news she wanted to hear.
And he said, there's a mass in her stomach. And at that point, we didn't know what it was,
mm-hmm.
you know. And then what's interesting is when you get news like that, you're completely blindsided by it. And then the hospital has all these places that you have to go, like, to get all these tests. And
Right away. So you're on your knees.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You realize something terrible's happened.
Right.
What a bizarre scenario.
I walk over her to her until she finished the conversation, and she, in tears, telling me that we've got to go to see the oncologist in this hospital, and we had to go find where this oncologist was. So we're in the hospital, going up and down elevators trying to find...
With Ruby
and Clara, our other daughter.
Okay.
And they don't know what's going on, and we're just... I just remember crying and crying and crying.
Because
we had to get scans. When we got up to the clinic, then they just said, you know, there's so much you have to do. Why don't we just admit you and just get it all done, and so you guys don't have to keep making appointments and coming back.
What a mind-blowing turn of events in a matter of minutes, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Where was your brain, or can you even remember?
Well, I guess this is where the rubber meets the road. I've always, you know, I've trusted God with so many things, and I was like, okay, this is a big one, and your children's life mm-hmm. is something you hold on to tighter than anything,
mm-hmm.
and that's a tough thing to give over. Mm-hmm. And we know we're given our children for a time. I mean, they're not ours forever, but boy, your love for them is so big and vast that it's hard to... Mm-hmm. really live that way. And so I was just like, okay, you know, this is not going to be fun. And I think I jumped right away to the doom and gloom of it. I'm like, she's going to die. I right away was like, this is it. We're, you know, I don't know if I was necessarily looking at it like I'm being punished, but it was kind of like, well, I know I've always struggled with hanging on to my children so tightly and being, I don't know, controlling or just... wanting them to be healthy and just sure. loving them with a love that you can't even explain. And so I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think I had too many thoughts going through my head, except I was much more optimistic, always have been, than you in this case, mm-hmm. in this scenario. But that day, I think it was just survival.
Yeah.
And hearing what the next step was going to be.
And what was the next step? So you actually checked into the hospital.
Yes, we checked into the hospital, and when we went up to Blank, since Trent's a pastor, we've visited children at Blank Children's Hospital in Des Moines, but so different when you're the one that's bringing your child up there. And I remember getting up to that floor, and everyone was very kind. And I don't think most of them knew why I was crying so much, but I just remember when I got up there, all I wanted to do was just get a big blanket and cover up Ruby and me and protect us from everything.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause there was nothing I could do to keep us safe. And it was so out of my hands.
So out of your control.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. When we got checked in, then we just started. It was just a flurry of tests. So that evening that we were admitted... they were able to say, this is definitely, there's cancer in her body. Strangely, it was almost a little bit, it was not good to hear that, but I also knew once we heard something, then we would start coming up with a plan to getting rid of this. And they had to do other tests to see if it had spread to her bones, if it had spread to her lymph nodes. And then it was determined that she had a childhood cancer that's called neuroblastoma. So she had a softball-sized tumor on her left adrenal gland, and it had spread over to the other side, to her liver, and to some lymph nodes.
In a six-month-old baby.
In a little baby,
oh, my goodness.
With no symptoms.
Oh, my goodness.
She was just fine.
Always.
She was one of the most content babies I've ever seen. So,
what a bizarre thing as a parent to have this happy apparently mm-hmm. looking healthy baby and to know that this was going on. I bet mm-hmm. that was a hard
thing. It was. Yeah.
It's so much would want to just say, can this just go away?
Yeah.
I think the next step was getting the tumor removed.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a process.
After that, we met with the surgeon, and they did warn us ahead of time and said, you know, we're going to be able to hopefully safely remove the tumor. However, we know there's going to be chemotherapy involved because it's spread to her liver and to her lymph nodes, which is a really hard thing to go through, a big operation like that, and knowing it's a huge operation, but we're going to get this tumor out, but then there's still going to be something left in there.
Yeah, I think that's when it started hitting me, is I was fairly optimistic up to the point where I heard that she was going to have to go through some rounds of chemotherapy. Then it hit me. One of the things, I mean, we do have a strong belief in a God that is in control. And so through that time, plus having a church body was huge and mm-hmm. and sustaining us through those difficult times in the hospital.
Yeah, we never jumped to why us right away or anything like that. But I do remember right away I thought I better learn what God's trying to teach me from this. Otherwise, he's going to take our daughter from us.
Hmm.
I don't know why I jumped to that, but a control thing.
Yeah.
And I thought if I am in scripture and if I am praying, if I'm just removing myself from anything pleasurable in life, I will learn what he's trying to teach me. I'll just meditate on this and he will heal her.
Lydia was doing what we're all tempted to do, hoping that somehow by our behavior we can control the outcome. If we're just good enough, then God will reward us. But that's a heavy load to bear. We'll hear the rest of Trent and Lydia's story coming up on Epic. Welcome back to Epic. Today we're hearing Trent and Lydia Hall's story. Surrendering control to God is hard. Surrendering our kids, even harder. That's where Trent and Lydia found themselves after their baby was diagnosed with cancer. Here is part two of their story.
We never jumped to why us, but I do remember right away I thought, I better learn what God's trying to teach me from this. Otherwise, he's going to take our daughter from us.
Hmm.
I don't know why I jumped to that, but a control thing. And I thought if I am in scripture and if I am praying, if I'm just removing myself from anything pleasurable in life, I will learn what he's trying to teach me. I'll just meditate on this and he will heal her.
It's interesting because that would be something you could control. Your own behavior you can control.
Yes.
And again,
right.
Trying to find some way, which I totally understand.
Yeah.
Something that you can do
yeah.
to try to make the situation
yeah.
better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that.
And so often we think if we just do enough good things that God wants us to do, then everything is going to work out. We kind of treat God like that many times.
Yeah.
If I do my devotions, if I pray every day, if
yeah.
I go to church all the time.
Then it's going
to
go well.
Then God mm-hmm. will.
Like circumstantial love. Like
right.
if you do good, he's going to love you more. If
mm-hmm.
you don't, he's not going to. Yep.
Could you see that happening in her, Trent?
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. Oh, really?
Yeah, I could see her. She definitely picked up her Bible a lot more. And I could tell just by being married with her enough years to see that this wasn't she was gaining much from Scripture. And it was definitely a rock for her. But also it seemed like there was this stress that came along with it. Like, I've got to do this or else.
Mm-hmm.
So she put more pressure on herself
wow.
through that. So we were able
that
to
was hard.
Talk
yeah.
through that and work through that because I had been learning too in my own life what legalism is and enjoying God for who he is and not seeing him as a taskmaster.
Yeah, and I think what we learned too from it is if, you know, why it cheapens Christ's death on the cross if we're trying to add to it. And so...
Yeah.
When Trent kind of had a heart-to-heart with me, and we talked about that quite a bit, and I came to the realization, yeah, you're right. I all I need to do right now is give this over to God. It doesn't have to be, it sounds weird, but it doesn't have to be this difficult, you know. But that's just a lot of pressure to put on a mom when she's thinking, oh, I can really do something to change this. But it was such a relief when I was able, I mean, still hard, but a relief to know he's going to do what he's going to do. I mean, he knew Ruby before she was born. He knew how her life was going to go. We just wanted whatever he was going to do to glorify himself to happen. Mm-hmm. And I think resting in that was comfort beyond any other comfort we could have. And
We began to surrender, learn what it means to surrender, really, everything to him.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's such a human thing to be like, you know, why do such bad things happen to good people?
Right.
You know, and when you realize all the good that actually can come from it, I don't know, I think when you have Jesus, your whole perspective on everything is so different.
So she went through the surgery.
Yes, she went through the surgery, and then
they were able to successfully remove the whole tumor.
The whole tumor.
Wow.
But it was still unsettling because somehow it had gotten over. Because I guess when it crosses the midline of your body, that's where it's unsettling because it's obviously strong enough to do that. So so then our plan was that she was going to be going through 8 rounds of chemotherapy. So that was 6 months of lots of trips to the hospital. And so.
And those 6 months, too, were, for me, very hard to concentrate and focus on my work.
I'll bet.
Doing the work that I do. And, yeah, I just remember just trying to stay productive because your mind is always on.
Was it the typical, like, you do chemo, then you do a scan to see if it's working, and was it that whole process,
yes.
And then you wait on results?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that was the most painful part, is waiting on results.
The worst.
So a lot of times we would have to wait over the weekend to get the results, because they would do the tests or the scans on Friday, and we would cross our fingers hoping we'd get some kind of good information so that we can enjoy the weekend and mm-hmm. not get a call. And realize somebody might know what the results are, but we're not going to get a call because everybody's going home for the weekend.
Yeah.
And we're going to have to wait till Monday to get those results.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there were a couple times where we got a call that, it's looking like some of her spots are getting bigger, because she had, the tumor was gone, but there was a lot of cancer in her liver, on her liver. And so, you know, sometimes they would be shrinking, sometimes they'd be getting bigger, and they would tell us, you know, it's the chemo working, it's going to kind of get big before it goes down, but you just don't know. Mm-hmm. You don't know, and
and your hope kind of rises and falls based on those phone calls and what they say.
Yes, and you're prayed up and, you know, read up and ready to go to get those calls, but nothing can prepare you for when that phone would ring, and I knew it was the clinic calling. But
coming to church, going to church on Sunday, and worship music just becomes alive
to you. Yes.
And it just hits you. Scripture becomes more alive than ever. And we're clinging on to every bit of God's word that we can. And I think people just sending us verses was huge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had a friend that wrote out just encouraging verses on postcards, and I just clung to those. And what I loved about it is scripture was always the same. What doctors say changes, you know, what the nurses would say would change. But the scripture, every time you go back, and it would say the same thing. And it was so comforting.
Mm-hmm. Just as you're sharing the story, you can kind of see this transition from your fingernails gripping hold of trying to have some sort of control initially. And now what you're clinging to is the only thing that stands.
Yeah, absolutely. I learned all about control early in the stage as well, and I had that desire to keep our family safe as well, and we both came together, we grew together, and we learned how to surrender together and rest on him. That was the only thing that we could do in it.
Yeah.
As dire as the circumstances were at that time, it was a beautiful time for our relationship.
For sure.
So you went through the 6 months of chemo.
Mm-hmm. Kind of around Thanksgiving time, they told they gave us a call and said, we have some good news for you. I think what we're going to do is Ruby still has some spots on her liver, but they just seem to be doing nothing. So what we want you to do is we're just going to take a break from treatment, and we're just going to scan her every few months just to make sure nothing's happening. Because they might just be cells that are left over from the treatment, which was really good news that we weren't going to have to be going through that. But also still in the back of my mind, I'm like, well, how do you know for sure that there's not something creeping around in there, you know?
Yeah.
And so they were scanning her for a few, like every few months for probably another 6 months. And then I finally just asked and said, is there any way to maybe biopsy what's left in her liver so we can know for sure what's happening, and then she won't have to go through the scans all the time. And so they did it and found out that it was just benign tumor that was left over. And so even now if she goes in, it'll light up, but it's not a dangerous thing anymore. And when we go for checkups now, it's only once a year, and they're actually just checking mostly for like effects from the chemo, which God was gracious in that too, and she's so far so good. Like, she's doing really well in school.
And how old is she now?
She's almost 11. She's 10, but in a couple of weeks she'll be 11 years old.
Incredible.
So, yep. Mm-hmm.
So sometimes when you go through those kinds of experiences and you find yourself, like, you probably would say that's one of the closest you ever felt to God. That's what it sounds like.
Definitely.
You know, walking through that. And then once it's over, what did you experience?
Well, it doesn't take long, honestly, to go back to doing your old routine of life.
Perspective on life is so different now. And and each day you really think through how each day matters and what God could be using circumstances for.
But we know deeper truths about God that we all have access to in His Word, but we experience that He is all we need each day.
Yes.
Each day has its problems of its own, and He is going to give us exactly what we need for that day. So that has always stuck with us.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. And I feel like the situation did create a yearning for heaven and to be with Him someday, to get to be with Him where there isn't sorrow and sickness, and to be free from that and know we have that gift because of Christ, because He loved us that much that He gave us that gift. I don't know how people go through it without faith. I really don't.
Yeah.
I remember Lydia just started, Caring Bridge. She was able to put updates on Caring Bridge, and it was as if the Holy Spirit was writing some of the most beautiful writing that I've read. And what was so cool to see from my perspective is Lydia going through this, I've got to do everything to try to earn God's favor, to shifting through this time of surrendering, and not only surrendering, but also proclaiming, God, I'm so glad that You're using this for Your glory, and honored that You would choose us.
Yeah, instead of going from, I have to do something to fix this, to like, wow, You picked us to go through this, and You love us that much, because He doesn't like His children to hurt. You know, He doesn't want that to happen, and that He loves us that much, that He is willing to, you know, stay with us and abide with us through something like that. I feel like it prepared us for ministry. It prepared us for life. I feel like we were pretty immature before this happened. We felt like the least equipped of the pastoral staff, and this happened, and I'm not saying you have to go through a hard, hard time, but apparently we did. And
God often uses the difficult moments to change us into the image of Christ. And that's exactly what He did with us, and we're grateful for it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And know that we will always have difficult things in our life that God will use for His glory. And that's the good news, is we don't have to waste those trials. Instead of becoming bitter and angry and distant from God, those are opportunities for Him to do good work in us. And I've found that the more I try to bring glory to God through teaching or whatever it is in my job, it pales in comparison, just letting God do His thing. And
I think when we have a trial too, we want to escape it. You know, we want to learn what we can and then escape it. And that seems like that's the escape would be the answer, but it's not. That's the furthest thing from the answer. It's abiding in Him day by day, knowing He's going to give you the grace and the hope you need in that day, not looking so far ahead, but trusting that he's gonna stay with you. And that's the beauty of it. And being confident that if that's how the rest of my life has to be, that's okay. You know, we're going to be okay.
That's a big change from needing to control what we're wearing and everything else.
Yes, I know.
That's a big change.
It is, yeah, for sure.
And a gift. A gift.
Yes, and that's only from God. That's not human. That's nothing a human can do.
Yeah.
I don't think. I mean, it's that can only be through Christ that can happen.
Surrender is a hard thing, especially when you've got your fingers clenched around whatever it is that you hold dear. But Trent and Lydia say their experience has taught them that giving up control has brought peace and joy, and it's helped them to trust God. Thanks so much to Trent and Lydia for sharing their story today. We believe everybody has a chapter in God's great big story, and we would love to hear about yours on our website. That's also where you can find podcasts of other chapters of Epic and read articles about our guests. You can check it out at myfaithradio.com. Big thanks to the folks who helped make Epic possible, Ted Ross and Jason Rakow. Thanks to Stephen Johnson for our theme music. I'm your host, Meredith Foster. Hope you'll join us next week. Thanks so much for listening. Every episode of Epic is made possible by people like you. You can make a gift today at myfaithradio.com. And if you love the show, let others know about it by sharing this audio link. You can make sure you never miss an episode when you subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or your favorite podcast player.